Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. It is now or never. As you can look for yourself, look at the news. Show me anywhere. I mean, okay, there's hope in China that China's reducing its restrictions, and we'll get into that. But the fact of the matter is, China is no friend of liberty. There is no sign anywhere in the world, and there's definitely no sign here in America, that we are on a path of restoring your liberty. It seems like the ratcheting effect constantly moves forward, and they may seem like they back out a little bit and give you a little bit of flexibility, but the reality is they are not going to help you. The reality is they are out to hold you down, and they're out to gain full control. And unfortunately, those happen to be the reality, or that happens to be the reality of our world today. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to get informed and get involved. So what we're going to do, because we've really covered some critical information regarding Madison's report on his resolutions. Let me back up. Let's look at the resolutions themselves. What Madison and Jefferson did in those resolutions is they gave the United States a full view, a perfect view of what we have to do and how we're to operate within this constitutional republic. This is why we constantly refer to this thing in our government as an immune system. When we look at how we all have an interactive part, when we're not doing our job, our government is on the path of failing and or destroying us because we're weaponizing them. Just like our school system is weaponizing our children with communist ideologies. Everybody understands that when a child reaches a certain age, they instantly believe they're smarter than their parents, they're smarter than anybody else. And it takes a long time for them to finally reach the beginning stage of wisdom. And that means that when they get to that point, they start recognizing how little they know in comparison to others. And they really wake up to the reality that everything that they were taught has been a big facade. So what we want to do is we want to get into the setting the stage of republic review, as well as this whole process of moving forward and what the future agenda for next week is going to be. But we've also got Feedback Friday. So that's why we're just walking away from these expoundings by Madison, because Madison, as the father of the Constitution, was the one that really, he understood this, and he placed clarity into what needed to happen and what we need to do if we're going to save this republic, and how the design of this Constitution was such that it gave us the power to do so through our representative government. I mean, most people think that, oh, well, we have the power. Yeah, we have the power with our representatives. And the way we use our power is those First Amendment petitions. We'll get into all of this as we go into this next couple of weeks of what to do at the county level and so forth and how to actually start obtaining control of your government. And this concept of a constitutional campaign. That campaign needs to start now. We're already getting behind. Every day that goes by with people not writing petitions, people not getting organized in their county and demanding compliance of the Constitution and holding people accountable, every day we're not doing that, you're falling more and more behind. You want to get rid of these people? You want to get rid of these governors? You want to get rid of these state legislators, Congress, and this evil puppet we call a president that was installed unconstitutionally? The only way we're going to do this, just to be clear, folks, the Constitution still has not changed to the fact that in 2023, Congress can still get rid of Biden. All they have to do is step up. This was the whole point of that that script that we wanted you to use in your campaign, going into town hall meetings and injecting this into every congressional campaign race. As you, if you participated and you went to any of the town halls, any of these meetings where somebody was running for Senate, you had the opportunity to really throw it out there so that everybody understood that, you know, this 2020 election and January 6, 2021 fiasco, that's all that's still been covered up. The reality is they should never have chosen, they had no authority to use an unconstitutional electoral college. So you really want to start stirring things up? Well, one of the first things that we have to actually have in our scopes is getting our states and our state leaders to actually shut down the primary party, or I should say the primary elections that the parties have concocted that we, the people, pay for. If we don't pay for the primaries and we only pay for our general election, this makes it even more possible for us to actually fund and take back our elections. It makes it more possible for us to actually have the honest conversation of what would be best, because folks, until you really start uprising, until you at least start becoming civil in the face of your government, I don't want you to be out of the streets. Middle of winter, it's too cold. What we need to be is we need to be in those county commissioner meetings. We need to be in your state legislature. And actually, more importantly, you want your county commissioners to be in your state legislator's face. I'm telling you what, when your county commissioner walks into the state capitol and gets right in their grill, they know who this person is, and this person represents the entire county. You go in there and get in their grill, they go, who are you? They don't even know you. I mean, when you become a real vocal and effective activist, then they'll start to know you, and they'll look at you as a troublemaker. But when you actually convince your county commissioners to actually start doing things. And the only way to do that is with force. In other words, with enough political force, enough people behind you. So we're hoping, and God willing, I will be in a eastern city, let's just say that, in Washington State, and I'll be in the room with a body of commissioners from the Eastern Washington County Commissioners. So hopefully we'll actually have an honest conversation of what we have to do. If they really care about the direction of this country and they really want to be a leader, I'm going to show them how to do this. And so the video is up and we've had a few views on it already. I'm surprised that with only one quick announcement, it's getting as much views as it has, because 9 times out of 10, everybody's busy. Everybody's out there just looking for, what's next. We got a total of 18 views, and that's just basically, I think, the full views. But I do know one thing. YouTube is really good at suppressing what the statistics really is. But nevertheless, it's out there. If you want to hear and you want to write that down, and as a matter of fact, if you have software to transcribe that into a script, then you can just play with the script however you want to. But that right there is a sequential holding of the hands and walking them through the essentials of our Constitution. The next trip I have and the next real subject we're going to dive into is the process of auditing, the process of petitioning. And basically, it's like executing Republic Review at your county level. It's basically getting them to realize that only they, as the overseers of the state constitution, they have the authority to hold our state legislators accountable. So anyway, with all of this, let me also say this. The show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, as we go forward in our curriculum, we've already covered much of the resolutions, and we're going to go into this Republic Review. And then when we're done with that, what we want to do in picking up the beginning of the year, or maybe before, what we want to do is cover the Enabling Acts, the Missouri Compromise, the Monroe Doctrine, and Manifest Destiny. These kind of, come full circle into what this experiment created and how this experiment actually grew this nation and a nation of opportunity. And while we were growing as a nation, D.C. was digging into very dark recesses of policies and plans of moving us into a very dreadful state. It didn't happen overnight. What happened in D.C. took a long time to get there. And it really took that hard turn after the Civil War. But folks, as we go through all of this, we're going to prove. So if there's an issue like the sovereign citizen movement, common law, those types of things, let me know, and we will give you the feedback, and we'll give you the argument of helping you understand exactly how these things have been enacted unconstitutionally, how the Supreme Court basically turned off their ability. They basically said, we reject any common law courts. We're not going to oversee any common law cases anymore. They have perverted our entire legal system. And so how do we undo all of these things? We'll be getting into that.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, folks, so we understand the level of tyranny that full despotism, full control over the people, a government can possess. And when we look at how a government starts exercising its power, how they respond actually has an impact. And so most people think that China is just lock, stock, in foot, what's the best way of saying this? They are embracing this communism, despotism that Xi is asserting upon them. And most people are just afraid of this Chinese Communist Party. It is wielding, and it is the number one influencer, because we created this Chinese Communist Party. You don't believe me? Then let me know, because I can point you to books that give you the academic evidence of how the Chinese Communist Party rose up and how America was instrumental in making sure it succeeded instead of actually doing what it should have done, and how we have bent over backwards in subsidizing the growth of the Chinese Communist Party. So now we see the Chinese Communist Party setting the stage for the world in how to control the masses. And who better to help them do this than big tech? Folks, we have a cultural war going on, and big tech is a part of that. And I just want to let you know that we're going to be connecting a couple of dots here so that we can actually look at what is the difference between Z and what is the difference between Musk. Because when you look at Z, he actually just had these zero tolerances. They were welding these huge buildings that, you know, trapped people with COVID inside. They were welding these buildings shut. You can't tell me that they care. I've told you time and time again, what these progressive leaders truly believe, even in America, these progressive leaders believe that we have too many people, and that people are the most, let me just say, what's a word for it when you actually find, okay, expendable. It's the most expendable resource. People are the most expendable resource out there. In other words, it doesn't matter if they die. It doesn't matter what's going on. And as a matter of fact, when we look at what Russia has done and how the people have actually stood up in unrest and protesting and so forth, and they're fighting back, after Xi had made his unprecedented third win as becoming the president from the Chinese Communist Party, how is it that now all of a sudden there's conversations of him resigning? Well, that's just because he's not the ultimate guy in power. This communist board, this little non-represented body that actually inflicts what they want upon people. And Xi, you know, what happens to a fallen leader? If Xi has to resign, would they take him out and shoot him? Oh, no, that's not going to happen, because he's done so many great things. All it is it's just basically grabbing a new pig and putting lipstick on it and throwing it in front of the people and going, how beautiful is this pig? And then this pig actually kind of subdues the uneasiness of the masses, because they know there's nothing they can do that could actually stop this ultimate revolt. And so that's why they want to make sure it doesn't get to the degree as an ultimate revolt. So when we look at what's going on right now, if Biden or if we had anybody in leadership in America that understood now would be the perfect time to act, to actually start going to Taiwan, Hong Kong, as I've always said, and actually throwing it out there, why don't you look into becoming states in the United States and actually get rid of the UN and start moving down this anti-globalist agenda and pro-liberty agenda? Because the U.S. Constitution and our constitutional republic is the government that guarantees individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I believe that there would be massive revolts throughout China. You think this is bad just because of COVID? If the people of China see that Taiwan and Hong Kong are now looking to be pulled away from the Chinese Communist Party, excuse me, looking at seeing these two states as well as other states that China is manipulating, like Nepal and so forth, and pulling these states into a territorial status as we start growing, we're going to see massive nations, and as a matter of fact, we will see massive unrest in China. Tiananmen Square would be nothing compared to these new revolutions, because people understand that the government that they actually have running their lives does not care for them. They have been graduated from people, you know, an oppressed people, to a controlled slavery environment. That's where they are. And they're starting to realize this. And it would just be putting wind in their sail if we actually did this. So, folks, if you start really thinking about what would really cause people to actually take a stand, give them the opportunity for liberty. Give them the opportunity to take that stand on individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So with that, now let's talk about Musk. Now let's look at what Musk is doing, because is Musk really that tyrannical? Well, hold on here now. Musk believed in the freedom of speech. Musk believed that, you know, no organization should be able to stronghold or be able to come to some, you know, level of moral value to say you can't do these things. And now he banned, who is that, Kanye West? Really? And over swastikas? Does it really matter what the content is? Musk is only proving that he believes in censorship that he agrees with, instead of he believes that the Twitter platform should actually be... If you start looking at what he's going to be doing with Twitter over the next couple of years, he's only weaponizing it for himself. Do you believe Musk is a man who is acting in our best interest? You want to see who's running for president in the next few years, you need to start looking at Musk. Because there's no way you can't obtain that kind of social influence and social power and not want to step into the rings of government so that he can be our next king. Folks, you better start waking up, because he's going to be the next brand of what we would call our conservative savior, because that's how people look at Trump. Trump has been no savior. He's only been the guy that's actually kept us on this path of government control. I mean, when you look at some of the things that he's done, yeah, he created good policies that helped America in its interest, but he also subjugated us as well. He furthered treaties that put us under the jurisdiction, unconstitutionally, under the jurisdiction of other governments. And he can't do that. Congress can't do that. They have no power to do that. And when we start realizing that these people really believe they're our monarchs, they believe that they're better than us, that they have these rights to access. I mean, Trump has been has been a great spotlight on what and how, you know, what do you call it when you have a rich kid that really believes that, you know, they deserve everything? Because that's Trump. He really believes he deserves all the control. He believes he deserves everything. He wants all the credit. When are you going to wake up, folks? When are you going to start realizing that it's not about being never Trump? It has to be always liberty. It has to be always sovereignty. Individual liberty and individual sovereignty must always be forefront. It's not about some person. It's about the Constitution. And this is why the Constitution has to be the center of this thing we call the constitutional campaign. Don't start confusing and mixing your efforts with supporting a person that's not on board with supporting the Constitution. But let's look at Musk a little bit more. Musk is not only playing around with this control over free speech and actually controlling what we would see in social media as narratives, because he's going to prove to everybody he's got the good control, right? There's the progressive evil control. And then because he's going to, and the good thing is, because this isn't about free speech when you actually start banning pornography and going against it. But you know what? This is not that hard to do. There was an idea that was submitted back in the 90s about how to eliminate pornography by making sure that it could not exist on any .com, .net, .us, that they could have created a domain space, .xxx, that all pornography, anything of that nature, must be on a .xxx site. So in other words, if Twitter wanted to be, you know, out there for everybody, it could not have one scintilla of pornography, or it would be moved to a .xxx site, you know, .xxx site. So when we actually start looking at how we can do this, it starts really, it just starts making sense and how easy it is. I mean, we have the ability to actually differentiate and completely separate pornography. But what Musk is going to do is he's going to use his quote-unquote conservative controls and constraints to obtain something that's going to appease the conservatives. And that's a very dangerous direction. We'll be right back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, well, let me see here. What's the best way of saying this? Focusing my ire, or actually not ire, I'm focusing some attention on a guy that I see that is right around the outside circle or the circle of stones for the fire camp. And he's walking around trying to figure out how to come in and take over that fire. Tesla is not an idiot. And as a matter of fact, he's made a lot of friends within the conservative community. And he realizes that getting both sides to look at him as I'm just going to use the word savior, just like Trump, gives him a tremendous amount of access to a popular president. And so this guy is power hungry. This guy loves being in the news. And you know what? He's been in the news and received really bad press, and he's still loved. Now, he has multifacets. And one of the things we can't ignore is how is it that the left love him? Well, look at his rise in Tesla. Look at what he did with Tesla. And oh, by the way, he didn't do it. How did Tesla rise to its level? Oh, Don't you remember that that's back when they had all of these government subsidies? And they still do. They still have an advantage in the market space on materials coming in and so forth, because the Biden administration has been making sure that electric cars are going to be available. Brand new electric cars are available for sale, even though you can't go buy a Corvette, even though you can't go buy some of these ICEs, these internal combustion engines, because they're not allowing those types of computers. They're not allowing certain parts to keep those cars from coming to the dealership, which is why the cost of used cars is going up dramatically. Now, if you look at what he's done and the direction of electric vehicles, he's got state governments creating mandates. How does this not become a win for the largest electrical vehicle manufacturer? How is that possible? Other than he put himself into the position where all of the money and all of the love is going to come from the progressives. So as you look at how he has been basically courting the progressives, he has been courting them on their green policies and so forth. I mean, people can't say he's really a bad man. They may not like some of the stuff he does, but they love some of the other stuff he does. One of the other things that he's doing is he's seeking to implant human brains. He's just like Bill Gates, getting involved in biology and human genomes and all of this kind of crap. Are you kidding me? Here is a man that is setting himself up to possibly become not just the savior of the United States, but the savior of the world as a political leader. You cannot dismiss this man. We can no longer look at him as an innocuous businessman who's just out trying to make a buck. He's already proven that he will inflict his ideologies. Go look at what he's trying to do with the implant of a human brain. And when we get down to that level of biology, I mean, do we not look at what China does in the biology space of human transplants, live organ harvesting so people can live? Are you kidding? Where are we going? And what is he doing stepping into this ring? Folks, some of the warning signs should be present just within these few things that we've basically relayed to you. But more importantly, look at his communication, his hand and grip in communications with his SpaceX program. See, SpaceX is a subsidized program where he's launching his own control over communications with the 5G network. I mean, he's going to make it this whole reality of Starlink integral. And I'm telling you, friends, when you really start looking at everything that he's getting involved in communications and the network itself and controlling it, and we're worried about this guy, you know, with his control over Twitter. Some people aren't worried about his control over Twitter, but if you look at what he just did in banning Kanye West, help me out here. I'm not seeing how this guy has America's best interest. And remember, what we want, and so how many people have been basically screaming and happy the fact that Musk has been able to dole out his vengeance upon Twitter? We as a nation are in a very dangerous space because we want vengeance instead of what's best for America. Liberty and sovereignty is what is best for America. Now, currently, he's working this 5G network. And as a matter of fact, go look at Starlink. As a matter of fact, you can just do a search on with the search engine, like DuckDuckGo. Just go search, how do I see Starlink satellite network? And it'll tell you exactly what time to be outside. And you will literally see a train of satellites literally going overhead. and they're all in a line, and you'll actually see what it looks like, and you go, oh my gosh, and you go out and see it for yourself on a good clear day, and you go, oh my gosh, there you go, folks, there you go. Now, when we look forward into what is best for America and what America wants, because America wants vengeance, what's best for America is putting aside those types of emotions and demanding compliance and demanding individual liberty and individual sovereignty, period. That is what's best for America. The last thing I really want to rail on is this large global financial giant called Blackstone. Now, I remember a long, long time ago when Blackstone hit the market, when they actually became like a mutual fund or what have you, where you could buy directly into Blackstone. They had a couple of different ways you could buy Blackstone. And I remember, because I actually did pretty decent in that investment, but I did better investments, or I should say I did better on some of my investments, like with Dow Corning and others, to where when I realized that the stock market is not a place to be anymore, and I realized that a long time ago, then I realized that, you know, let me sell my stock out. And what I did was I cashed out. I do not have anything in the market at all. You play with banking, we got precious metals a little bit, we got, you know, but we're doing everything we can to get out of debt, to get our house paid for, and trying to get into a position where, you know, whatever we have coming in is not dictated on what we are. It won't drive their ability to change our lives. You know, they are changing our lives with the rising cost of energy. They're changing our lives with the rising cost of food, because they're manipulating all of these markets. As a matter of fact, I think today's the day when the Enron scandal kind of broke loose. And remember what the Enron scandal was. It was all over this concept of being able to buy, you know, energy in a free market space. And boy, how did that expose the fact that there's no way you can have a free market space with energy. All it has done is created billions of dollars of excess profits for all of these CEOs across America. And look at how vulnerable we are in our electric grid. Are we better off because of that? Anyway, when we start looking at the immoral conscience of Blackstone and how it is using its weight as a financial institution on whether it gives out loans and who it loans its money to, it is a very destructive influence in our market space. I want you to understand, folks, that when we start seeing players like this, the only way we can take a stand against these types of businesses and organizations is actually using state courts to prove that an institution cannot force or use unconstitutional powers, laws, or rules in governing themselves that create a disadvantage for any other nation, or not nation, any other corporation or any other person within this nation, within our constitutional republic. Remember, the state cannot enforce laws that are unconstitutional. So when all of a sudden somebody creates a law or a rule or a policy such as Blackstone and comes in and creates a disparate type of ruling to where we're not going to give you a loan, or we're going to stop funding you because you have a high carbon footprint, because their criteria today is to have a net zero carbon footprint, and forcing companies, if you're not going to do this, because it's all about this ESG crap, and so it's all about sustainable green environment crap, and they're using this political position to inflict upon whether you can have a business operate and employ people in your state. So, folks, this is economic warfare, and it is being operated by Blackstone or by corporations and financial institutions. And they're just the star child, or they're the poster child today of what is bad with our I'll just say the mixture of politics in our corporations. And I say partisan politics, not constitutional politics. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so in all fairness, I have one direct go back, or I should say feedback. I don't want to say called out, and I don't want to say I was harassed or harangued or anything like that, but what happened was I was approached by, and see, bottom line is there's people that only listen to me every once in a while. And so they'll listen to what I say and they will, you know, hear the context, because you don't get the full story with every show, because I just don't go into each show details, and then that's it. And so I've had a listener that actually kind of dialed in and heard me talking about the 16th Amendment and how the 16th Amendment didn't provide any powers. And this person's a huge supporter for a fair tax because they believe the 16th Amendment was a bad deal. And it was a bad deal. But bottom line, it didn't give the federal government any new powers. And so this person kind of missed some of these details, because if you don't listen and you don't go back and listen to the full show, then you'll find people out there that will go, oh, well, you know, he doesn't like my idea, or he doesn't like what I support. And so as this person basically relayed back to me, you know, as they kind of reached out and I gave them my feedback regarding this fair tax initiative, this fair concept of a fair tax, of a national sales tax instead of an IRS tax, They completely misunderstand that taxing is the problem, because it's not the problem. Folks, government must tax. It must be able to tax us. And it is overtaxing us. The taxation is way too high. But this person ended up coming back as I tried to provide this insight that says, you know, you're looking at this all wrong. The problem isn't the taxation and how the government tax. It is really about why they have to tax us and take so much money. It's because they're spending unconstitutionally. If we took away all of their unconstitutional spending, then how much money would they need for taxes? Oh, well, they'd need money to pay back all of it. No, actually, to be clear, once you've set this line in the sand that that debt is all based on fraudulent spending for over a century, and every country that is coming in and giving us more money to spend money fraudulently is equally culpable in violating our law, violating international law and fundamental contract law. You can't go to an entity and expect legitimacy when you're funding them to do illegitimate things. I'm sorry, China's hands has blood on it, just like our politicians. We, the people, are innocent of this debt. And so, I was given a metaphor that kind of laid out this childhood memory for this person, that how they loved, you know, his father loved badgers, and how the badger would get caught in a trap every once in a while. And every time, and one very specific case, when he was trying to get this badger out of the cage, the badger just fought. And because the badger didn't understand that they were actually trying to help him, because they didn't want to get rid of the badger or cause harm to him, he was just unfortunately trapped. And so the sad thing is that he alluded to the fact that, you know, because I don't know any better, I'm just so caught up in my own little trap that I don't realize when people are really doing good things. Folks, there's nothing good about establishing a tax mechanism that is not tied to the enumerated powers. In other words, what we do is we take away the enumeration of spending and actually give the federal government the ability to spend whatever they want. We cannot go down this path of a balanced budget or a fair tax, any of that stuff. It is a nefarious plan. They may have been designed by people who have good intent, and these are probably really great conservatives. But the fact of the matter is, the problem is not the taxation. The government is taking way too much money because it is spending money it has no authority to spend. And I don't know why this is such a problem for people. You know, I know you love this idea that we can go do this, but you're asking for an amendment to the Constitution or the creation of a law that is not founded on our constitutional principles. Even the fact that the 16th Amendment allowed the federal government to tax us based on income, it did not give them power to change the uniformity clause. In other words, the requirement for them to actually treat everybody equally, just like the uniformity clause was applied to the states. There could be no excessive burden given to one over another. And that was it was clearly a concept where the federal government couldn't use its formulas, statistics, or anything else to choose good people or winners and losers. It's that simple, folks. So, anyway, let me kind of finish up with this concept, folks, that when you hear things, I love the feedback, and I don't want to, you know, call anybody out, and I don't want to make anybody seem like, you know, they don't understand. But when you have to back out and look at the situation and look at the constitutional standing of the current situation you're looking at. Whether it is a fair tax, whether it's a balanced budget, or term limits, or, you know, common law. Look at the constitutional standing. Look at where the Constitution positioned itself over these issues. Clearly, when you start looking at things from a macro view, when you back out a little bit and you look at the whole thing in context to a fair tax or a balanced budget amendment, you can start realizing that these things don't really solve the problem. They actually they galvanize and encrust these problems permanently into our government. Why would we want to do that? Why? Why not just seek compliance? They don't have the authority to do what they're doing. Let's get them to comply instead. Come on, doesn't that... That's clear. That's got to make more sense. right? It's got to. But with some people, we just can't get there. Now, Republic Review and this whole process of these resolutions, it is all based upon, again, a enumerated constitution. And when I say enumerated constitution, I'm not speaking of, you know, just powers. I'm not speaking of roles, responsibilities, and powers. I am also including property into the enumerated constitution, because clearly it enumerated property. And if it wasn't enumerated, it's something that they can't possess, operate, or obtain without an amendment. So when we look at this whole Republic Review, when we look at this process of the resolutions and what Jefferson and Madison were trying to do, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to definitize the Constitution as the first step in this process at the state level. Folks, we have the opportunity. Clearly, we have the opportunity because there is so much frustration. All we have to do is get people to stop, take one step back, and look at a broader perspective. And the further back they go, they'll realize how big the picture gets. They will back out away from it so that they can really see how we are the problem. How we, as well as our public servants, because many of these people in public offices are us. And what happens is when they go into office, they get corrupted by the status quo of things that have been done unconstitutionally for so long that nobody even questions it anymore. It's the same thing with everything else that's being thrown at us. There's no doubt this is confusing for many people, but it is as simple as pie. It is, you know, you don't have to get anything to rise. You just put some crust down. You just bake it, and that crust is going to... I mean, there's secrets to pie in making a really good pie, but it's not that difficult. It's not like making certain types of cakes. You know, I've seen people try to make cheesecakes, and I see people selling cheesecakes that really is a pie. It's not a cheesecake. It's a cheese pie. Because it's just easier to make that cheese pie than it is to really make a good cheesecake. A good cheesecake is where that cheesecake crumbles. That's a good cheesecake. And I know there's subjectivity to this, but actually there isn't. Because there were standards a long, long time ago what differentiated between each. Because they got to a point where they were able to get to that excellence of a cheesecake. And they said, that's what a cheesecake is. So today, folks, when we look at our government and we look at what we need to do, it is really our job to get informed and to start holding people accountable to the Constitution. Understanding the Constitution isn't difficult. Understanding what is enumerated in the Constitution and what isn't enumerated is critical. This is why this goes back to definitizing. And we can start doing this at the county level. We need to make sure that every state does this. And then when every state starts definitizing the Constitution, that what that means is the states are finally standing up and telling the federal government they don't have a living Constitution. They were never delegated the authority to possess a living Constitution and to dictate how they would choose to enforce and how they would choose to understand and act upon that Constitution. Folks, we can do this. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.